So Boys and Girls Club. Ha, there's all the big wigs right there. There's Rob Coleman and Hal Smith. They're the top, they're the CEO and the COO of the Boys and Girls Club. Okay. But you see how close it is to everything. So all of this was apartments, and you know it's been torn down.
Was that Dickerson Court?
Dickerson Court in Harbor Homes. Okay. This is Miss Pearlie's, and I'm not sure where her air monitor is. She said you could see it.
It might be on the
but
roof.
I don't see it. Oh, I see a little monitor right there. I don't know. But she's wanting to talk to us, actually. And that's our elders. That's Mr. Linwood DeBrew. So he's in a house. He's bedridden now. But that's who we go to for everything. Miss Joni Ivy. She is Congressman Scott's right-hand person. Abdullah Mahal. He did boxing out of here and help a lot of young men just get on the right track.
I love that mural.
Yeah. So here, look, the interstate's backed up. In the middle of the day, the interstate is backed up.
Wow.
All day we deal with this. We've been asking for traffic studies and everything. So here is where they're actually going to build the Virginia Peninsula Community College. This area here is going to be retail, so they're keeping it open for retail. And then over there is what Miss Millie was talking about, which is the S23 Holdings. It's a fabrication business that's going to support the shipyard. And people just dump their trash everywhere. So I guess this is how you get in. I'm never really...
Yup, looks like it.
Hey, adopt a spot. Wow, so they have adopted the spot? Well, this is scary in itself. I've lived down here for like almost 20 years and I have never been here. It's just like, not forbidden, but it's like, you don't talk about it.
Yeah, kind of like
scary.
Do you know anybody who's been over here?
No. You can't even get in. Wait a minute. Oh. Oh my goodness, Adrian, look at this.
Oh man.
Oh my goodness.
That's nuts. No photography allowed. Oh my gosh.
Is there an office? There's no office about here? Oh my goodness! Look at all this crap! And we're breathing all this in! Even when coal moves from there, I'm sure it's like causing smoke and the wind is just blowing, and there's nothing blocking the wind from off the water. So all of that wind is just coming to our community. Oh my goodness. I'm more pissed off. I'm so pissed off.
It's really a lot.
This is a lot. What are in these silos? Is coal in there too? For a job application. But they don't have an office. The Mean Terminal Associates. This is really interesting. Contractor work permitting. Is that an office? That's a work area.
I don't know.
I really want to go in and ask for like a job application. All of their doors say no trespass. Visitors must sign in the main office prior to entering property. Where's the main office at? Do you mind if I leave you in here for a minute?
Oh, I'm good.
Okay. If any work is being performed. Let me ask this kind sir. Excuse me, sir. Hi, how are you? I'm well. My name's Uganda Sample Jones. I'm looking for your main office. How do you apply to work here?
You have to go
away.
Exactly. With all this diesel trucks, I bet you they changed their oil out here. The oil, everything leaking into the water. So Cross Globe pulls trucks for the
the train pulls the coal. What are the trucks doing?
So he has his hazard license, like his hazard
that lady there is Tracy. She's the one in charge of the truck driver.
Okay.
And so she'll direct you to what you need to do. It might be an online application. I'm not sure how they do it now.
Okay.
So
thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
What's your name?
Okay.
I'm Uganda.
Okay,
it's
Uganda.
Nice.
Yeah, if she asks you what, you just tell her.
I got you. Yes, sir.
Okay.
You have a great day.
System that it has. So if we go for a dome, wouldn't it have to be like multiple domes to go over everywhere? Because one dome isn't going
to
cover all the coal. And then the coal is just sitting there.
So big, and it sits on the train.
Yes. It just sits here. And that the trains are closer to our neighborhoods.
Yeah, they come through the neighborhood.
A lot of work to do, Adrian.
I think you have a really good point about the dome. Like, it kind of makes sense if it's sort of like a smaller site.
Yeah.
But because it's so big,
we would have to.
It would have to be either multiple or like, I don't
and then
know.
Who's to say that they're going to make sure all the coal is inside the dome?
Yeah, like how would you make sure that it's fully contained?
North. But look, even right here, that is a pregnant, so that's Community Service Board, that house right there, and it's for, we can drive down, it's a dead end, but it's for pregnant women who are trying to get off of drugs.
Oh, dang.
They're just right here being polluted, and they're right here by the interstate. This house is pregnant women, and they stay there until their child is like, I believe, 2. And through their whole
2 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
It's real. It's a really good program. Now, it all depends on how many people they have that are trying to come in, but I worked with a young lady. They certainly did let her stay there till her daughter was 2 years old, but she was clean. She speaks, you know, high volume of that place. It's really interesting that they adopt, like, what spot are they adopting? Where the coal is?
Yeah, like, their driveway.
Because if they're adopting this trash and stuff that's always here. Stories when
so
I was
crazy.
Running for office, there's stories of cancer clusters in Newport News. The people that live by like the mini power plants and things like that. That was really interesting. But I've been asking questions about like, does anyone know what is happening? Because this construction stuff has been here all summer, but no one has an answer. But I think, look at this. So, like,
this construction.
Yeah, right here. But, like, a wind fence that would go right along on the other side of the track, that would be so perfect for us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the perfect solution. The perfect solution is to get rid of it altogether, but, I need to take a picture of that. Hold on. So that is actually showing what the project is. low carb or something. It's so funny, like these projects, I take pictures of all of them because you don't ever know what's happening until you see it happen. And then you got to like go back and figure out what it is and what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you look at the QR code or?
I pulled it up, the one for HRSD. Uh-huh. But I'll look at it later. I want to go down here because I've gone down here to get on the interstate, but I've never been like straight. I think this goes to the water treatment plant. It's just so many factors that are affecting our air right here in this tight area. The water treatment plant and what was happening with that. Talking to Mr. Raymond, I'll show you the depth ditch too.
Ooh.
So it's a depth ditch. There's our water right there. And then I'll show you where we're doing quality control. So what, they take the water somewhere else? Quality coatings. Okay. What is this MEB? So he's all, that's what they were saying. Okay.
S23
Holdings. Uh-huh. S23 Holdings. So he's already doing work at the piers, and he's working with, is being supported by the shipyard. S23 Holdings is the guy. He fixed these piers up down here, and he's building the facility that is going on 14th Street. So when they talk about like fabrication, I automatically think it's like welding and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But I need to really research what fabrication is and what it involves. Like, is it a blast radius? Are they doing sandblasting? Is it particles that's going to be in the air?
Yeah, like what's in here?
This is our water treatment plant.
Oh, this is the water treatment plant.
Yes, that during the summer, this thing was smelling so bad. I said, it got to be a leak somewhere. But this is the water treatment plant here.
Oh, and so this is where it leaked really bad that one time, and Mr. Raymond did all the testing.
I want to show you where it was. It was leaking into the duff ditch. Oh, that's the water treatment plant. We have so many monitors. Where are they? Maybe it's for the signs.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
I guess it's for the signs on the interstate.
Oh,
because they do have that one sign that tells you if the bridge is backed up or what's going on with the bridge.
Yeah, it said 6 cents. Like, it was like SIXENSE, which I guess is in brand, but I feel like I just saw that name.
Take some pictures, but I gotta be in Denby at 1 o'clock. This is the duff ditch right here, and Mr. Covington, he owns this block here. He owns most of 14th Street, and he's been asking like, what are you gonna do, what's gonna happen? And we're sure they're not gonna clean it up until they get the people that they want back here. But yeah, it's a ditch.
You mean, like, new people?
Mm-hmm. So the community is gentrified. This is where we did the groundbreaking for S23 Holdings. That warehouse used to belong to the Housing Authority, but now he owns it. Jose Rivera. He's a really nice man. He has a beautiful story to tell. That's the new school. So you see how close it is to everything that's happening. And these are the new houses. I mean, no apartments, the townhouses that we're building. We're extending 14th Street, so this is going to be a road through the community. And it's a lot of development happening. But I'm just so worried, like, if this land was, like, unbuildable, you can't build residence, like, housing on that land because of the toxic ground.
Yeah, it's like a brownfield, right?
Isn't this toxic? Yeah. Like, it's right across the street. And the only thing that's really separating it is a man-made street. So it's the same land. Isn't this land toxic as well? Or is it less toxic because it's a little bit further away?
I don't know.
But, say a 14th Street. Death ditch right here.
Oh.
It goes back. It where we rode past, but this is where the pipe from the Hampton Road sanitation was leaking out sewage.
Oh, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, raw sewage.
Yeah. So it only makes sense that we build a brand new state-of-the-art seafood market.
Oh my god.
Right next door. Like, I have faith that this stuff is going to be cleaned up once, you know, demographics change and stuff like that. But it's like, why do we have to wait for things to change? We're being like, I have the plans actually back there for the seafood market. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be overlooking the water. Let me see. they had to do quite a, they are having to do a lot of work to make it the land, prep the land so that we can even build the market. But it's going to be overlooking the water and everything. And I'm like, but we have this over here. And what are we going to do? Like I said, I'm sure it's going to be cleaned up, but why do we have to suffer now for it?
Who do you think is going to clean it up?
Oh, the city.
Oh.
Yeah. Once they, I mean, that seafood market is going to be amazing. We have franchise opportunities on the inside. It's a rooftop entertainment, a lounging area outside. It's going to be beautiful.
It sounds really amazing.
And it's a huge investment. I love our city and our EDA for investing and seeing the value in the East End. But it's like, okay, who are you really doing this for? Empower the people through the process. Down here is our seafood industry. And I was surprised to learn that our seafood industry here brings in over 30% of the world, of the United States seafood.
Right? What?
Right through here.
Wow.
Because what comes through the port, I forgot which one of these businesses do deal with that. But, yeah. And down here, they got in quite a few grants to redo their buildings and stuff like that through the city of Newport News. BNC Trawlers, a lot of these, they don't have like sales in the area. Like we can't go in and buy food unless you know somebody, but they sell to big business.
Oh, okay. So they don't have like a storefront.
No, one of them, a couple of them did. I don't know. They're really big. They got a lot. They got quite a lot of grant money from the city and the state to keep their operation going. I'm not really sure what they do, but I know they do hire from the community. They hire a lot of people and they pay them really good wages. This is Key Lincoln Park, but the culture people in our community call it Pickett's Beach. And that's because Mr. William Pickett bought this land for us back in segregation time because there wasn't anywhere on the waterfront where people could be. We have a pier, that pier right there, we got that built to make the waterfront more accessible. But there's still a lot of work that we have to do. They classify it as a wild beach, so it's not cleaned. Which really doesn't make sense to me because, like, Huntington is right up the street and they clean that one off. They make sure the rubbish and the bushes are gone. So why not do the same thing with this one so we can enjoy our waterfront?
When you say Mr. Pickett bought the beach, is this the same beach that I was talking to you, Pastor Michael Nines, about his project about the contrabands in Fort Monroe? And he was talking about the first beach that enslaved people landed on.
So that's in Hampton.
That's in Hampton.
That has been recognized, and it's on Fort Monroe, but that has been recognized as the first point, which kind of doesn't make sense to me because it's all along the same waterfront. So right. I'm like, doesn't Newport News have the same history that Hampton has when it comes to that? But Hampton celebrates and they value their history.
Uh-huh.
Whereas we don't have that type of engagement here. But this is, I mean, he bought it for us. He was actually a trombone player with Duke Ellington, and that's where he got his money.
Get out.
Yeah. I used to come out here when I was a kid. My mom used to bring us out here. And I remember it was like none of that rubbish and stuff. It was a beautiful waterfront. It was a lot of black families that were out here. We used to sit out here and like eat crabs and stuff. So when I returned back, I was like, what in the world happened to our beach? And where are our children? Like, they're not enjoying outside. And it's just once you don't pay attention to things, it kind of falls by the wayside. These are apartments. I did a lot of activism, door-to-door groundwork in these because they had so many issues with brick-and-mortar issues. The AC wasn't working. The bottom floors, if you can see, their bottom apartments are kind of underground.
Yeah.
That caused so many plumbing issues.
Oh,
we would go door to door, and it would literally be puddles of raw sewage in the basement areas. So we did. This is a health and wellness trail that we're building. That's a Boys and Girls Club, that red building. But this trail is going to go from that street that I told you we're creating down here into the waterfront. On this area, we're going to have outside exercise equipment. But I'm sorry, I'm talking. So this, sorry, I'll be all over the place. But so they're actually getting the repairs and the renovation that they need because of all the pressure that we put on them. We work with Harold Roach. He would communicate with us. We work with key residents out here that weren't scared of retaliation. And things are happening finally. What's going on here? Okay. So these are the towers. Mr. Benny McRae, he was a football player, amazing man, actually built these towers to have housing downtown for black folk. And people don't know there's a pool on the top of these. These are luxury towers.
Wow.
And his son is still alive to today. If you want to capture his story, I could call him. He has a painting company. But we talk a lot about stolen legacy. And I was like, yeah, they really stole your dad's legacy. But it's really nice.
Wow. Wait, who stole his legacy?
Well, it's now owned by the Housing Authority.
Oh. Did they buy it from him?
I don't know. I don't know. You would have to talk to him.
Okay.
I have no idea. I just know when I came into the fold, it was a really raggedy building. It was terrible and was in major need of renovation. And there were rumors about the city was trying to get rid of it. They were going to tear it down. And there was a company that wanted to, okay, what you doing, mama? There was a company that wanted to come in and renovate it. And it was rumors about they didn't want that to happen. So one of my first acts of activism here was we pulled a Greyhound bus up in that circle. And we had all the residents get on the bus. And we went right across town to city council and filled city council room. And before we even could talk, they were like, well, we're going to let you know what we're going to do right now. And yeah. They voted to do the renovation repairs, which was really good. The residents love it now. They have washing machines and stuff like that. It has really improved their quality of life.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I remember it was this little old man. He was like, I just want to live my last days of my waterfront apartment. I said, sir, we're going to make that happen. Because he lived like right over here. He had a beautiful view. Yeah, but it's ran by the Housing Authority. But it's a prime example of you can fix stuff up. But if you don't give people education or access to opportunity, it's just going to be the same rundown place that it was before. And unfortunately, that's kind of what we're seeing now, that is reverting back to the uncleanliness and stuff like that. One of the first community projects that I did, I had a mentoring program called Royals, and the guy had actually donated the land because it was hard to sell because a bus stop is right here, and he donated the land. So working with Mr. DeBrew, he allowed us to come out, and he taught us farming. He taught our young ladies about agriculture, everything. He was just so amazing. I wish you can meet Mr. DeBrew, but he's bedridden. And, this is Councilwoman Tina Vick. She lives here.
Oh, that's her house.
Yeah.
That's a nice place.
This area here, so Lassiter Court is on both sides. They're public house. Well, they're not public housing. It has converted to rental administration demonstration. Rental assistance demonstration. So, Virginia as a whole trying to get rid of public housing, and this rental assistance demonstration is pretty much saying you gotta work. Like, you can't just say that you're not working and get free living, you know? So, it has a lot of different requirements to it, and it's really interesting. I wonder what is going on. Well, it looks like they're fixing poles. The House of Refuge. This would be a nice little, I mean, I love my church, but this is kind of like a nice little quiet church. They're right in the middle of the construction and everything that's happening. Pastor and Lady Jeter are amazing. They are so community minded. They're involved in everything with the Choice Neighborhood Initiative. And they're great
all
resource.
Around them.
Yes, yes. And they had to fight, like, they didn't even get the property that they wanted. Because they were like, well, can we at least get to the block so they can, they want to expand their church. And that was like such a hellish fight with the housing authority, and it was very upsetting. They didn't get what they wanted. Mm-hmm. Achievable Dreams Tennis Center. And then of course, Achievable Dreams, the school.
I know you have to drop me off like really soon, because you have your 1 o'clock, but yeah. I just wanted to ask you like, about the monitoring, like what do you think of it? What do you think it offers?
Man, I'm so excited about this monitoring because I can't speak for what happened before me, but this is something that I see happening. I'm able to be a part of it, so I'm a part of, hey, asking where's the data, because we just need the information and we can go and advocate. But this is important because it kind of validates us, you know. The data, I fully believe that this data that's going to come from the air monitoring, the attention, is validating us that we're not crazy. We do have health issues. The people, the families that were fussing about asthma and heart conditions, respiratory issues, right there in really circle, they weren't lying. They weren't being extra or dramatic. It's really air, like cold dust is coming into our lungs. And it's not fair, and this data validates us. At least they keep the ball running and show them we are not giving up. We need a wind fence.
Is this something that you would like want to see more of? Or do you feel, like, do you feel like more monitoring would be helpful at this point, or is it sort of just like
I don't
data? Yeah,
I want us to start tighten up our strategy a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like really bring in Sierra Club, the EPA representatives, DEQ, all of us come together and be like, okay, you have this data, you have this data. We all agree that what's happening in the 23607 is not right. Let's work together to bring solution. I think that nuisance ordinance is really key because there's nothing out there. And right now we're just, hey, we got a cool mayor and he's working on it. But what happens when he's not our mayor anymore? You know? Right. What happens when eyes aren't on the coal dust? So what y'all are doing, what the repair lab is really doing, is putting like some oomph behind our fight, you know. And really I appreciate for the organization, because before it was like these gatekeepers, and although I'm passionate and I'm concerned about our environment, I felt like it wasn't a place for me to even say anything because of the gatekeepers, community gatekeepers that are in the like kind of barriers. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate this opportunity because it's a way, I see it's a way for me to be able to break those barriers through and bring everybody on board and say, hey, this is what we're doing. It's an opportunity for you to get engaged because I know you had, your baby has asthma. I know you had to have a heart, open heart surgery for respiratory issues. So it's a way to break down those barriers and really bring people in and get their buy-in so we're a stronger force when organizing against all that mess that we just saw, all that coal, like it's just sitting there, and it's money. I'm sure they see it. They see money, but when I see little children that can't breathe, and it's not cool. I see my son having to wake up with the freaking nebulizer because he couldn't breathe. Like that's not right. Because you're operating a certain way, I feel like you need to be held responsible for that and held accountable. You have a business, that's fine. Like strip clubs, they have to put security measures in place to protect the community from their activities. So why are we putting those same demands on big corporations that are doing activities that are affecting us? Yeah. Does that make sense?
That makes so much sense.
Like, it's so easy in my mind, but it's, I guess, political and all this. And I really don't care about that. I just want to reach a solution. And I feel like this network that we have is really going to get to the solution. Respectfully, respectful about the work that's been done before us, but we're moving forward with this. Because you can't stop the movement.
Yeah. Motion of the ocean.
Hey!
Okay, well, thank you so much for letting me ride with you.
Absolutely. Thank you for riding.